Okay, let's begin. We've been zochet to a lot of rain today, which puts all of us in good moods with all the sniffles and the coughing and sneezing and sinus. Nevertheless, the tremendous bracha, however, I should continue. Okay. As I think I mentioned this once at the beginning of the year, that generally speaking, I like in the sicha format to give a vort from the previous week's parsha. When you say it in advance of the coming Shabbos, so generally speaking, we tend to think of it as a vort and just say, oh, that's something nice to say over, and we get trapped in the pizzazz of the idea, in the, oh, that's a great vort, that's so cute, that's so clever, that's so smart, but we don't actually think about how it can impact and change our lives. Sometimes we do, but often, all too often, at least I do not. However, when you say it past the parsha, when you're no longer thinking about, ooh, I could say this at the table, because if you did, they would just think you go to yeshiva, or they don't know which week's parsha it is, which is feasible. So you're no longer thinking about it as a vort, rather you're thinking about it as some sort of hadracha and guidance that is a calculated move. And therefore I'm Beshita staying away for now from Parshas Vayera and going back to Lech Lecha. Okay. You may have seen in this past week's Parsha, you may have heard, I told the word to a few people that I don't think any of them were shown a bit. Maybe, I don't recall. Rav Shimon Schwab, in this past week's Parsha, has a beautiful, beautiful mahalach. He has a sefer called Ma'ayan Beis HaShoeiva, and he says the following. He says, if you look at the psukim, Bris Ben HaBesarim, which would be much easier to do if we had a chumash here, but the psukim say the following. Before Avram chops up the animals and walks between them, it says the following: Vayotzeo so achutza. Kadosh Baruch Hu took Avram out of the tent. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Habetna hashamayma uspora kochavim im tochalim nosam. Go outside, look at the sky, count the stars if you can count them. Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Kohi Yazarecha, so too will be your children. And the simple pshat is that as many and as plenty are the stars, so too will be your children. But Rav Shah pointed out that if you look at the pasuk, there's a small difficulty there. And it's not an earth-shattering kasha, but it's a kasha nonetheless. And this kasha opens up a whole new vista in understanding what exactly is the promise to Avraham. Vayomer lo, the pasuk says, he took him outside, Vayomer lo, and he said to him, Habet na hashamayma uspura kochavim. Look at the sky. The Midrash says he was above the sky, lahabit, it was always to look down. Look down at the sky and count the stars. He said, look down at the stars and count them, if you can in fact do that. And he said to him, so too will be your children. Rav Shah points out that there's a redundancy in the pasuk. There is a repetition. He said to him, count the stars. And he said to him, so too will be your children. It should have simply written, he said to him, count the stars. So too will be your children. Why does it say twice in the pasuk, and he said to him? He said to him, count the stars, and he said to him, so too will be your children. It's as if to say, says Rav Schwab, that there was something that interrupted the first time God spoke and the second time he spoke. There must have been something there, and that's why the pasuk had to tell us. And he said to him, again he said to him, so too will be your children. What was it that occurred between the first time that God said, count the stars, And the second time that he says, so too will be your children. Why does the pasuk repeat? And he said to him, count the stars. And he said to him, so too will be your children. Says of Schwab, you know what happened? Avraham did just that. Just what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, count the stars if you can. Right? As if to say, it's impossible to count the stars. Count the stars. And you know what happened? Avraham did. He said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 107, 108, 2,982, 2,983. And then God said to him, during this action, once there was an action, breaking of the first speech, God said to him, Ko yihyeh zarecha, so too will be your children. An act which is seemingly impossible. How many of us sitting in the room, if I told you count the stars, would actually do that? Who can count the stars? It's impossible. Don't even bother. An act which is seemingly possible. Impossible, I'm sorry. An act which is seemingly impossible. A task that seems too daunting to even attempt. And there is Avraham. 1, 2. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Ko yihyeh zarecha, so too will be your children. That which is seemingly impossible, that which seems beyond our reach, we'll attempt anyway. If I were to tell you to take a football and throw it up to the Merkaz, it's possible, don't even bother. I'll give you $1 million if you can throw a football to the Merkaz. You wouldn't even bother. Maybe you would just for the, oh, because it's fun to throw a football. But you wouldn't, nobody thinks, that. Forget it, it's not even worth it. I'm not going to waste my time, go outside, it's freezing, it's raining, I don't want to do that, forget it, I can't do it, I'll never get $1 million. The answer is no. Even those things that are seemingly, that's a carefully chosen word, seemingly impossible, becomes possible. It's what is called in modern day jargon, a paradigm shift. You have a certain framework, and then you suddenly, it shifts. Right, for example, if I go into the supermarket, and at the supermarket, the lady behind the counter who is checking me out is filled with attitude. She says, you know, can't you move any faster? Why are you taking 6 milks? There's a limit of 4 milks per person. Really giving me a hard time. And then I go home and I tell my wife, you know, that lady in the supermarket, she was really a terror. She was just disgusting. She had no manners. She kept on barking at me. It was not at all a pleasant shopping experience. And my wife can respond to me, actually, you know, I was in the supermarket 3 hours earlier. That lady was handed a pink slip. She's been fired. She has 7 kids at home and no husband. She's terribly worried and concerned about how she's going to feed her children. She has no help whatsoever and no prospect of any means of supporting herself. She was devastated and distraught. And suddenly I'll say to myself, yikes, I feel terrible. I had assumed she was a mean witch. And now I suddenly have an explanation. She's having a terrible, atrocious day. That's called a paradigm shift. You had a whole framework set up. She's a normal person who happens to be mean. And then suddenly you discover, no, her world just collapsed. And therefore she was lashing out in trying to figure out how to cope in some sort of coping mechanism. There are things that are seemingly impossible, but if you attempt them, the paradigm shift, you'll discover they become possible. I like to say this all the time about our very own Rav Fass. Right? You guys know the story of Nefesh B'Nefesh. You know how it came about. His cousin was killed in the pigua in Sabaro. I assume everyone knows? Okay, I'll tell you quickly. His cousin, he had a cousin that was killed in the pigua in Sabaro a few years back in Israel. And he felt like garbage. He's like, what am I doing over here in the States? Right? When a precious soul has been distinguished in Israel. What am I doing? So he said, nefesh benefesh. For that nefesh, my nefesh benefesh, for that nefesh. They took away a soul, I'm going to go to Israel and I'm going to be a contributing member. That's nefesh benefesh. And then he discovered that a lot of people wanted. So for, you know, they're going to take one away, we'll bring another. He's leading the count. Baruch Hashem, he's well ahead of the terrorists, Yimach Shemam. It's not even close, nor will it be close. But that's the idea of nefesh benefesh. But let's go back for a second and imagine what it must have been like. I'm going to make Aliyah, and then more people decide they want to make Aliyah. And he's like, you know what? I have an idea. I'm going to charter an airplane and bring a whole group of people on one huge Aliyah flight. Not only that, you know what? I have an idea. Instead of waiting on lines in the Israeli bureaucracy, right, I'm going to expedite the whole process. We'll just do it on the plane. We'll get Misrad HaPnim on the plane, and everyone, while they're sitting, they could just have their paperwork processed. And not only that, but we're even going to provide social services once people land in Israel and help. Anyone? Impossible. The state of Israel has existed for 58 years, it was at the time, 57 years, 56 years. Never without a day of lots of red tape and bureaucracy. And you want to eliminate all that? You think you can eliminate all that? Impossible. Right? You think that where the state of Israel has failed to provide social services for Olim for the past 56 years, are you going to be able to change that? Impossible. You're crazy. Right? And yet, lo and behold, we are now 6 years later, and in fact, the seemingly impossible became possible. And beyond, it's exceeded even what was thought to be. Who would have imagined such a thing? That's seemingly impossible, but it becomes possible. It's obviously a natural shift to us as well with our... can somebody please... It's a natural shift with us... No. Keep it close. A natural shift with us as well in our Talmud Torah. We sometimes shy away. Somebody please close the shade. We sometimes shy away. I'm being very distracted. We sometimes shy away from attempting that list of Mara Makomos or that Tosfos. Are you kidding me? It's 54 lines. Impossible. I'm never going to be able to manage that. What? You want me to read through the Mishnah Berurah and explain it to a Shana Aleph kid? Impossible. Like, right? But the promise to Avram is that we will attempt, and when we attempt, we succeed in that which is seemingly impossible. Rav Blachman from KBY is a fan of saying that you know you've succeeded as a Ben Torah if people think that you're a little bit crazy. Not a lot crazy, but a little bit crazy. You know, I don't mean like you go around and you say, that's not what he means. What he means to say is that, let's say shiur ends at 12:55, and lunch is at 1 o'clock. The same... A normal thing to do would be to say, listen, it's 5 minutes. Who are we kidding? What can I really accomplish in 5 minutes? I'd be crazy to actually open up my Gemara now and attempt a Tosfos. I'd be crazy to go into the Beis Medrash and attempt to do an Aliyah and Shnai Mikra. It takes 25 minutes to do and 35 minutes to do an Aliyah. The sane and smart, normal thing to do would be to go to the Chadar Ochel and get a good seat. To go and make a phone call. But if you actually go into the Beis Midrash and people are like, oh, he's a little bit crazy, he's flipped. That's how you know that you've arrived. You're a little bit crazy. You're doing that which is seemingly impossible. You can't accomplish anything in 5 minutes. It's impossible. It's not impossible. You can learn chas in 5 minutes. 5 minutes today, and 5 minutes a little bit later, and 5 minutes. And over the course of the year, 5 minutes times who knows how much becomes a lot. 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 10 minutes there. It adds up. You have to be a little bit crazy. You have to do that which is seemingly impossible. In fact, for all you Hasidim out there, the Baal HaTanya writes the following in Perek Lamed, Chelek Aleph Perek Lamed of Likutei Amarim. He says the following. Likutei Amarim and Tanya is the same thing. Some people call it Tanya because that's how the Likutei Amarim opens. Some people call it Likutei Amarim. I don't know if you're considered more of a chassid if you call it Tanya, if you call it Likutei Amarim. So, you know, try both. Drop both names in conversation. He says the following. He says, you have to recognize that the Yetzer Hara is waging a strong war against you. Right? And you have to fight equally hard. If you're not struggling on a daily basis, he says, it means that you are doing something wrong as an Eved Hashem. It means that you are probably letting your Yetzer Hara trample all over you. If you're not feeling any counter pressure, if you're just coasting, then something's wrong. It means you should not be coasting. And coasting doesn't just mean if you're laying in bed all day, then that means you're doing something wrong. That's clearly true. But even if in the base midrash it's going so easy, that means that you're not challenging yourself enough. That means that you are coasting. That means that you are not doing that which you're supposed to do. He says, "Be'inyan esek limud haTorah." He gives a whole bunch of examples. He says, "Tfila, birkas hamazon, birkas hanenin." And then he says, "V'chen be'inyan esek limud haTorah." Similarly, so too in the matter of one's occupation in the study of Torah. This actually has a translation. Lilmud harbe yoter michevtzo v'ritzono lefi tivo urgilato. In the study of Torah, one must learn much more than his innate or accustomed desire and inclination, by virtue of a strenuous struggle with his body. You are supposed to push yourself much more than your innate or accustomed desire and inclination. It's impossible. I don't want to. I can't. It is not normal. You're supposed to push the envelope. That's the way you grow. Hoodie is a weightlifter. He was a weightlifter. I don't know if we have a weight room anymore in this yeshiva. People, Shana Aleph told me it's a joke. They can't believe they called it a weight room. Whatever it is, we definitely have something. And any weightlifter will tell you that if you don't feel any counter pressure as you're lifting the weights, you might as well leave the room because you're not accomplishing anything. The only way that the muscles develop and become stronger or grow, whatever the proper biological, physiological terminology is, but the only way the muscles, it clicks, is if you're feeling counter pressure. If you're feeling resistance, if you're just able to lift the weights up and down, it means you're accomplishing nothing except burning calories. There's an interesting Gemara, which I think a lot of you in the room are probably familiar with, or at least have heard of, if you're not highly acquainted with it. I say that you're probably familiar with it because it's in Megillah, and a lot of Talmidim at Leva Torah tend to have an affinity towards Maseches Megillah. Particularly, I imagine all over the Shana Aleph programs, in large part due to the Landeck College, the Kiyas Blitz. So, therefore, I take the liberty of saying I assume that you are familiar with it. Otherwise, you should shy away from in the middle of a shir saying there's a famous Gemara, there's a famous Medrash. Because if you say there's a famous Medrash and the person in the audience hasn't heard of it, then he may feel a little bit like, what's wrong with me? How come I didn't hear about this famous Gemara? So, therefore, you should shy away. But this time I can say with confidence that probably you have heard of it. And the Gemara says the following. Amar Yab Yitzchak, it's in Daf Vav Amud Beis. Im Yomar Lecha Adam Yagati velomatsati. I've toiled, I've worked hard. Velomatsati. But I came up empty-handed. I didn't find. Al ta'amed. Don't believe him. He's worked hard and he didn't find. Don't believe him. Similarly, lo yagati umatsati. I didn't work hard. And nevertheless, I found. I bore fruits. Al ta'amen. Don't believe him. The guy's a cheat. Yagati umatsati. I toiled hard. And I found. Ta'amen. You can believe him. Again, if he tells you, I worked hard and I came up empty-handed, don't believe him. I didn't work at all and I succeeded, don't believe him. The formula is, yagati, I worked hard, I toiled, matzati, it bore fruit, te'amen. That is the winning combination. And then the Gemara says, hani mili lechidude. That's talking about sharpening. Learning svara, you know, like to extrapolate and to learn and to try to figure out what the Rishon is saying. What is the Rambam getting at? You work hard, you're going to figure it out. That's a Gemara guarantee. There's a guarantee like that in Tosfos also, on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph of Ksubas. We'll probably discuss that at a different Vad. But you work hard, you're going to eventually understand the Rishon, guaranteed. You'll understand the Rambam. You'll understand the Mishnah Berurah. You'll understand the Pnei Yehoshua. If you work hard. Aval, le'uk megirsa. But when it comes time to retaining that which you've learned, there says the Gemara, siyata min shemaya. It's not based on your effort, seemingly. It's not based on your effort. Siyata d'shmaya. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To understand and struggle the Rambam, that's yagia. Work hard, matzata. You'll understand. But in order to leukme girsa, to retain that which you've learned, siyata d'shmaya. The Grub points out a very, very fascinating point in this Gemara. He says, what is a metziah? A metziah literally means, right? What does a metziah literally mean? It means a found object. When you find something, right, that is not, right, there's a level there of siyata d'shmaya, says the girl. And he says, yagata, you toil, umatsata, it means you toil and you work hard, but ultimately, it's still a metziah. A metziah is haphazard. It's no guarantee. Right? Metziah just, you know, I walk on the street. Oh, look at that. I found a 10 shekel coin. It's a metziah. Right? It's not something that I can control. Right? Even if I take one of those detectors, I don't know, you know, and I go to the beach and I'm like, the bottom line is, it's still a metziah. It's out of the realm of my control. So the Gemara points out that even in yagata, it's a level of hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ultimately, it's not on your own that you understand the Rambam, but it's hashgacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He gives it to you. It's a metziah. But if that's the case, you have to ask yourself the question. What's the difference between yagata umatsata te'amen? You worked hard and you told and you got the metziah. And uki girsa to retain that which you've learned with Siyata Dishmaya. Ultimately, they're both Siyata Dishmaya. Right. Also the Yagata Umatzata, and also the Uki Girsa. They're both Siyata Dishmaya. Okay, we're going into the home stretch. Here we go. Can you open the window a little bit? Lift it, not that one. Lift that one just a little bit in the shade, yeah. Okay, good. Okay, thank you. Says Rav Volbi the following. Rav Volbi points to another Gemara, the Gemara in Erevin, and Daf Nun Dalet. Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet, he says the following. We have a sequence of places that Klal Yisrael went while they were traveling from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael. It says, from Midbar, they went to Matana. So that's the pshat. What's the drush? What's the metaphor behind there? Mimidbar matana. So says the Gemara, im meisim adam atzmo kemidbar, if you make yourself like a midbar, hakol dashin bo, everyone can just trample in it, meaning you give yourself up, you give up your ritzonos, talmudo mitkayem beyado. Then your Talmud is mitkayem beyado. That's when you'll be able to retain. If you give up your personal wants, if you make yourself like a desert, empty of your own personal negiyos, of your own personal inclinations, you just make yourself like a desert, empty of your own personal desires, then mitkayem beyado. Then you'll retain. So now, says Rav Volbi, we have two levels. We have a level of mitziah, lechidude, when you want to understand the Rambam, that's a mitziah. When you want to retain, that's a matana. What's the difference between a mitziah and a matana? What's harder to get, a mitziah or a matana? Says Rav Volbi, a matana is harder to get. Why? A mitziah has no counter pressure. If I find this on the floor, right, and it's ownerless, all I have to do in order to own it is pick it up, and it's mine. But a matana, if I want that watch over there, is that your watch, Sean? If I want that watch over there and I take it, did I acquire it? No. The only way I can acquire it is, it needs a little bit more effort. First, right, it needs John's acquiescence. Johnny has to acquiesce and give it to me. Das Acheres Magnus. So there's an extra element. Says Rav Volbi, that's the way it is in learning also. To understand on a daily basis a Rambam, or a Pnei Yehoshua, or whatever it is, a Rush, the Gemara in the 10th Perek, and the 1st Perek, whatever it is we're learning, that is a mitziah. It's a struggle, yagata, you have to work. But if you work hard, it's going to happen. Matzata, it's a gift. If you want to retain, and by retain, I don't just mean that in 5 years from now you'll be able to recall the Tosfos that you learned. But if you want to retain the lifestyle, if you want to retain the status of a Ben Torah, to be a Torah Jew, that is matana. That's harder. That is dash. That is a little bit what we spoke about last week in Shalosh Shittos. You really have to give up your own person. You have to pay the price. You can't just have a casual affiliation with Torah for that. For that, you're going to need to put in double time effort. For that, you're going to have to let Torah permeate everything. not just while I'm in the Beis Medrash, but my whole life has to be Torah. When I'm on the court, when I'm on the football field, I live, breathe, and desire Torah. It is seemingly impossible. Are you kidding me? I am 19 years old, and you expect me, 19 in the prime of my teenage years, where I'm supposed to be most egocentric and most selfish. Well, that's not true. Maybe up until the age that you're 5, you're supposed to be the most egocentric. But teenage years are a close second. When I'm supposed to be at the height of my egocentricity, you expect me to give up my desires, my raging hormones, and buckle down and give myself up for Torah, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's impossible. It's counter to nature. Nature dictates that I go out and I party. Nature dictates that I go out and I have a great time, that I seek as many friends as possible and be in as much company as I can and experiment with 101 things that life has to order. It's impossible to try to curb all of those desires and just be an Eved Hashem. Ko'i Yezarecha. Avraham, your children are going to attempt the impossible. And you succeed when you attempt the impossible. That is our job, to attempt the impossible. You have to make your essence, your fiber, your entire being has to be the Beis Medrash, like a midbar, to make yourself clean and empty of all things. To really invest. Investment comes in many forms. I'll mention this now. I don't even know if this should be recorded, but you know, I'm going to shut up the recorder. That's fine. That could be recorded.